the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, USA Today's NFL Wire site. Episode 499, nearly 600th episode of the show since we started back in 2013, the summer of 2013. With me on the line for this preview show is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site. Seth, this is a really important game for the Cardinals. We're talking Cardinals 49ers week five. If you heard the show that I had with Kyle Madsen, that dropped on Thursday morning, you know that it's going to be a tough game for the Cardinals. But just how important is this game for the Cardinals in terms of vibes and honestly for the future of 2024, like the immediate future?
It makes it tough, man, because this is one of those situations where you look at what these teams have and how they compare, and it's clear to this moment still that the 49ers are superior in almost every way, right? Like they're just the better team, the better roster, all of that. But the gap was supposed to be closing. I don't think either of us were like, hey, they're going to overtake the 49ers this year. But at the same time, you were looking at it as, hey, they're going to be able to compete. Like, it shouldn't be three touchdowns, you know, differentials. It shouldn't be anything like that where it's an embarrassing performance. And now you're like, oh, this could get sideways really quick based on how last week went.
Right. That's the major concern, because they got blown up by the Commanders. They're 1-3, and then the next stretch of games are very, I mean, they're not going to be favored or even close to favored in any of the next 4 weeks, except maybe Miami, depending on whether Tua is back and whether Tyreek Hill is still on the team. You got San Francisco this week. You got Green Bay next week. You're at home against the Chargers, a team that is so, so tough defensively. And then you're on the road against Miami. So the next four games, the second quarter of the season, if things get sideways, you could be looking at 1-7 and then wondering what the heck happened with this season. And even though things lighten up, they're basically done with the season. And that starts this week against a 49ers team that seems to be finding itself a little bit. It's at 2-2, still every bit one of the best offensive football teams in the NFL. So let's talk about the 49ers. And this is our preview predictions, picks, and then of course some props, as well as we look at this game. Let's look at the 49ers as a team, and what do we need to do before we go into the matchups and keys. What have you seen from the 49ers so far this year, this season?
I mean, you kind of hit it on the head. They're great. Great offensively. They are right now playing a very mediocre defensively. And that's interesting because, you know, they've invested heavily on that defense. They still have elite players on defense, obviously led by Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. But outside of that, it's been the guys that haven't been doing what they needed to do. I mean, you look at some of the names that they've brought in, right? Devondre Campbell to replace or hold things down until Dre Greenlaw gets back. Remember, Devondre Campbell, after he left the Cardinals, he was an all-pro with the Green Bay Packers, right? Like,
he was.
You're talking about a guy that had an unbelievable season and then followed it up with a good, not great season. And people thought, oh, he's going to go to San Francisco. He knows he's kind of a part-time guy. He's gonna be able to play next to the best inside linebacker in the NFL and figure it out. And that's not been the case, right? Like, he's in fact struggled to play well at all. And that goes to some of why their run defense is so porous, right? Just like we were kind of surprised how bad the run defense is. And that goes to why they are sitting at 2-2 instead of being the dominant 4-0 that we kind of expected them to be at this stage of things. I mean, you look at that first game against the New York Jets. They were dominant. I mean, 401 total yards of offense to 266. Held the Jets to under 70 yards rushing on the day. Turn the ball over twice. Then in their back-to-back losses, they allowed 146 and then 98 yards rushing. They struggled to contain the Los Angeles Rams, who the Cardinals seem to have no problem with in their one victory, right? And then last week, it's one of those things that it was almost like a get-right game for them, right? Like,
yes, Kyle described it as, you know, it wasn't they didn't play well, but they did exactly what they needed to do against a Patriots team that is right now just awful. Their pass rush numbers are skewed by their six sacks against the Patriots because, you know, Kyle was saying the pass rush hasn't been good. You look at the numbers, you had Kevin Givens, a guy that had, what, 5 career sacks, had 2.5 sacks on Sunday.
And I think the Patriots were starting their third string left tackle in the game. And I'm sure you guys have seen the memes going around on X and Instagram and those likes of basically the Patriots shielding Drake May from what is a terrible, terrible team in New England and just trying not to get him killed. And so, like you said, these grades are a little skewed because you look at their pass rush. Again, obviously, Nick Bosa, phenomenal. I mean, one of, if not the best guys in the NFL. Malik Collins, and I think this is his second year with him. If I'm wrong, I apologize. He's been okay. Javon Hargrave has been
done for the year.
Yeah.
He's out.
Javon Hargrave had been okay, and this is Collins' first year, so I apologize.
Yeah.
This is his first year with them. Javon Hargrave had been okay, but for the most part, I mean, guys that they've kind of tried to fill that role next to or across from Bosa, Eder Gross-Matos has struggled. Leonard Floyd, the veteran coming off a 10-sack,
nothing.
Yeah, a 10-sack season where you and I were like, oh, that might be a really nice fit, really struggled. So it's like the guys that were there to be the next guy have not given him that. A name to watch in this game, and you mentioned Givens. He played extremely well last week. but that my buddy Kyle Posey has written about extensively, and there is a 0% chance I'm going to be able to pronounce this name, but Sam Okeyonona. He's played well in very limited snaps. I mean, he's only had 25 pass rushing snaps, 39 total snaps, but he reminds me bigger, but he reminds me of like the Dennis Gardeck impact, right? One sack, one hit, 3 hurries and 25 pass rushing snaps. So every fifth rush he gets to the quarterback some way. That's huge, right? And
yes.
And like you said, some of that's a little skewed. He had one hit in a hurry against New England, or sorry, one hit in 2 hurries. He had a sack in a hurry against that awful Rams offensive line. So, you know, we get it. Those numbers aren't the best to grade off of. But again, a guy that's generating something every 5 snaps, that's something. So he's one to watch. Their defensive backs haven't been great either. I mean, outside of Fred Warner, who, like Nick Bosa, is probably the best at his position in the NFL, and I would argue that Fred Warner might still be the best defensive player in the NFL. It's been an interesting ride for them. Their slot corner, Diamato Lenore, has played well this year. You know, so how you know, where does he, how are they going to utilize him and deploy him? He's, you know, he moves around, so I shouldn't call him a slot corner, but, you know, he's got 134 snaps at slot corner and 60 as a wide corner. So, like, he's really
when they go three, when they go nickel, he is the guy that slides inside primarily.
Right. But is that who you want guarding Trey McBride? Obviously, again, if they deploy Fred Warner on Trey McBride, that's, and this is no shot at Trey McBride. That's just a win for the 49ers, right?
We know with that, you know what the Cardinals are going to do? They're going to find every opportunity to try and move him away from Fred Warner.
Right, exactly. And so, but outside of those two, it's been kind of really hit and miss. I mean, you got Isaac Yidiem, who struggled. Charvarius Ward, who was, you know, otherworldly last year. I don't think there's any other way to describe his 2023 season, has been mostly bad this year. I mean, you're talking about a guy who last year had a sub 65% passer rating, and it's over 90 this year. Like, that's a huge, huge change. And the thing is that his play this year is kind of more in line with what he's been throughout his career. And so starting to be like, oh, last year, his, you know, all pro level season, I know he wasn't all pro, but his all pro level season was the outlier, not this season was what he's been. You know, and then Jair Brown's really struggled this year. Talanoa Hufanga, you know, is still working his way back into things. And he's always been a little bit more of a run guy, and especially coming off, it was an Achilles, I believe, for him. Coming off that Achilles, he's, you know, he's still getting his footing, so to speak, back in being a you know, a force in the pass coverage game. But that was never his overall strength. But, you know, it's something that he gave them in their heyday. And it's just interesting that we're talking so much about the Niners defense, because I don't think anybody really expected them to be bad. Right.
It's they were seemingly overwhelming at every level, and then on offense. And then let's talk about the offense though, because they're getting surprisingly big contributions from areas where they didn't expect. I talked about with Kyle, well, first off, Brock Purdy. If you notice, you know what nobody's talking about anymore? Nobody is debating just how good Brock Purdy is. He has entered the upper echelon of quarterbacks. Maybe not. No one is looking at him as, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, but probably that next tier of guys. He's right at the top. He's, what, second or third in passing yards this year? There's no more debate about it. The talent is there. The skill set that he has with his ability to throw the ball down the field with good decision making, you know, the intermediate range of deep throws with anticipation, the trust he has in the receivers. Even though he has great talent, I now believe that he is now not team dependent, and I think that's developed because he had the success early with such good players. But I think he could go anywhere. Like, he's Kirk Cousins. He's like Kirk Cousins level type player at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he's entered that level, and he's playing very well. And, you know, one of the things you look at is that, like you said, it's not just Brock, but it's the guys that are contributing to that. And nobody expected any less of Trent Williams, even though he was out most of or all of camp and preseason. You know, nobody, I mean, he's literally a first ballot Hall of Fame level tackle. I mean, there's never been a debate. Debo Samuel is having a nice resurgent, but that seems Debo Samuel-ish, right? Like every other year he gets healthy over the offseason.
And he's getting banged, and there's banged up. Like, they've had injuries to Debo. They've had injuries to George Kittle. Had injuries of Christian McCaffrey, which is, you know, last year when they were dealing with everyone healthy, now they're sort of going through that thing. Like, we'll go for example, Christian McCaffrey hasn't played this year. He might not play. We'll see what happens. But Jordan Mason, is second in the NFL with rushing. And, you know, when but we talk about it, this is absurd.
Isn't that such a Shanahan thing, though? And not just
it is.
Kyle, but obviously his father, you know, and obviously you never want to compare a guy to a Hall of Famer, but Terrell Davis, right? You know, Terrell Davis is a nobody, nothing, late round pick, and develops into a Hall of Fame level guy. Like, and then it would be, you know, he was kind of the godfather of the idea of running backs not mattering. And then obviously we found that to not be true. I mean, while this offense is still producing at a very high rate, there is not a single iota of a person that would be like, oh yeah, they're better off without Christian McCaffrey.
Right. Well, and he's on pace right now for 387 carries, which
is not
sustained. And the reason why they're doing it is because, okay, we can put the load on him because we expect McCaffrey back. But if McCaffrey is going to be delayed, the durability of Mason's going to come into question, especially because of the type of style, the type of runner he is. And after him, they've gotten absolutely nothing. They've gotten absolutely nothing from anybody else in the run game outside of Jordan Mason. And he runs and looks for contact. And he's going to be very, very, very difficult for the Cardinals as the Cardinals struggle to. And I saw from the Republic, Bob McManaman, you know, if the Cardinals can stop the 49ers run game, they can beat the 49ers. I'm like, yeah, but can they stop the run? They gave up 130 yards to Buffalo, 187 to Detroit, and 216 to Washington. They have shown that they are inept when it comes to run defense, except for against the Rams when they were going against a third string left tackle and they built an early lead.
Right. And that's kind of the thing that we talked about the other day. They're front runners, right? But the you mentioned Jordan Mason, obviously he's been a huge and pleasant surprise. You know, George Kittle's still playing an all pro level, but it's really been the presence of Juwan Jennings being their best receiver this year.
Number three in the NFL in receiving yards, not Debo, not Ayuk. It's Juwan Jennings. My goodness.
And that's just it. I mean, when you get guys that end up competing at that level and playing at that level, you can sustain success that is surprising. And I think that's how you would label this, is a little bit surprising that they're having this much success without Christian McCaffrey, with Debo Samuel having missed a game. Now that's not a lot, but it's still a game, with Brandon Ayuk struggling to return to form after his basically entire offseason holdout. I mean, all of those things matter, and yet they're still producing at a high level. The question becomes, is it sustainable, right? And you mentioned that with Jordan Mason, obviously, and how they're getting absolutely nothing from anybody else. I mean, you look at their next guys. Debo Samuel's got 27 yards rushing on the season on 12 carries, 2.3 yards per carry. And then Isaac Garrido has seven carries for 19 yards. So they literally just can't do anything. And the biggest change in their offense is obviously that they just don't have Christian McCaffrey, which means he's not getting, you know, close to 100 touches out of the backfield in the passing game as well, right? So
yeah,
so you look at Jordan Mason, I think he's got 6 receptions on the season, on 7 targets. You know, it's not his game. It's just not his game. So they're finding other ways to get other guys involved. You know, George Kittle hasn't done a whole lot this year. Kyle Juszczyk hasn't done a lot this year, but they're still producing. They're just not quite at the level that they were last year when you're talking about, you know, a team that was third in points for and points against. You know, they're having that slight drop-off. 8th in points for, 10th in points against. Obviously, the yardage thing is they're still, you know, putting up massive numbers. 2nd in the NFL in yards on the season. But it's just, I mean, you can notice not having Christian McCaffrey and not getting much from Brandon Ayuk, but it's not killing them, which is what matters, right?
Yeah, that's the wild stuff. Let's talk about this game then. Coming next on the Reserve Series podcast, plus our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's move into the game itself. Matchups, keys, what the Cardinals are going to need to do to win this game. That's coming up next on Reserve Series. We're back on the Rise of Series podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web, talking with Seth Cox, episode 599. We're now moving into the segment where we preview, talk about the game itself. Cardinals face San Francisco 49ers on the road, Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California, 1:05 p.m. Arizona time. And what are the Cardinals going to need to do? I mean, we already talked about the run game. That's going to be tremendous. We know that the Cardinals don't stop the run. And if they can't stop the run, is there anything that they'll be able to do defensively to make their lives easier? Or does it begin and end with that, honestly? Because if they can't stop Jordan Mason, San Francisco is just going to run the ball. If we look at some other metrics on money downs, defensively, the Cardinals are among the worst in the NFL. Their opponents convert 45% of their third downs, and that was very apparent last week. And San Francisco is fourth in third down offense at 44.7%. Does it begin and end with that? And basically, does it feel like a losing battle, period, that the Cardinals will not be able to slow the 49ers offensive attack without selling out against the run and then hoping for maybe one or two punts and maybe a turnover?
Well, and that's what the issue has been all season. And we knew this coming in, Jess, is that the defense just wasn't going to be good enough to compete with upper echelon teams. And the fact that, you know, it's come to the point where now it's not just so noticeable, but it's also a massive, massive, issue for this group to even be able to compete at a level where, you know, are they able to even keep things close? And I don't know. I mean, obviously, like I said, this is not last year's Niners team, and that's, you know, been okay for them thus far. But like you said, they're still one of, if not the best rushing teams in the NFL. The Cardinals are one of, if not the worst teams at stopping the run in the NFL. And that just seems like a recipe for disaster, a big day for this team and for this group. And that's going to be the issue. You know, we knew if this team could be middling in against the pass, that they might be able to compete, but not being able to stop the run at all. And then ironically, not being able to run the ball consistently or efficiently is a little bit perplexing. And that's something we've talked about. And yeah. So that's what, you know, is the concern going into this week, because it just feels like it's a recipe for disaster.
Right. And those are the two major, major red flags for the Cardinals defense. One is just the 49ers run the ball extremely well with Jordan Mason, obviously number two in rushing yards in the NFL. And it honestly, the crazy thing is, if it weren't for Derrick Henry's going crazy on Monday night, you'd be talking about the NFL leading rusher, Jordan Mason, who is the replacement for the 2023 rushing leader, Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, they run the ball well, which makes it, and the Cardinals, that's a big weakness for them. Well, San Francisco is great on third down, and the Cardinals are bad defensively on third down. So I think those are the two, like, if you look at any two things on defense that are the major red flags of what's going to happen on Sunday, is that the Cardinals have to change one and or two things. They have to slow the run game, which they haven't done, and they have to be better on third down on defense, which they have not been, and they're going against a team that does both well, runs the ball well, and keeps drives going on third down very well.
Well, and, you know, the third down situation can be found in two things. One, obviously, their inability to stop the run. So when you're in third and less, you know, four or less, it feels almost automatic, right? But when you do get in third and six plus situations, third and seven plus situations, third and medium and long situations against the Arizona Cardinals are not a threat. Why? Well, they can't rush the passer. So, right. You know, those two things can't stop the run, but also can't rush the passer. That puts you at a hole in a disadvantage immediately. And so that's what becomes the issue. And we've talked about this. It's the unfortunate reality of having to play from ahead if they're going to have any type of success. And we just haven't seen it this year.
Right. And so, like, I guess if they can do one thing is that if they can get two stops, like early in the game, and two scores, like if they can be up 14-3 and force San Francisco to get away from the run game, because we've seen Kyle Shanahan do that against the Cardinals. So if you give them enough looks, you have a lead 14-3, 14-6. Early in the game, in the first quarter or early second quarter, and you still give them stacked box looks, they'll move away from it, and maybe then you have a chance. But then the other side of the thing is basically, if the Cardinals cannot overcome their two greatest weaknesses defensively, the offense has to be significantly better. They have to run the ball. And then it comes over, it's like they have to run the ball consistently, something they've always been able to do it against the 49ers for the most part, especially James Conner. And two, the struggles that they've had on third down recently, they've got to turn that around, because San Francisco is one of the worst teams. They're actually one team below the Cardinals in third down defense, giving up 45%. Of their opponents converting on third down. And if the Cardinals can sustain drives and make this a close game, well, then, okay, then we'll have ourselves a fun afternoon. That track meet where maybe it won't be like 38-35 or 42-37, but because both teams will eat clock because they run the ball well. But I think that's the only hope the Cardinals have if they can't change their defensive trends.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I am not exactly enthralled with what we've seen in terms of the production on the offense. And so I don't want it to come across as the defensive bashing, you know, and that stems to everybody, whether it's Kyler Murray, whether it's James Conner, whether it's Drew Petzing, whether it's the offensive line, you know, all of those things I think have been an issue. But the reality is that the defense puts them at such a disadvantage. We were talking about it, you know, and we didn't go in depth on it, but think about last game, right? You know, obviously struggling, not playing well. Things are ugly. And you go down and you get scored. You cut the deficit to 28-13 or whatever it was, because I think they went for two, right? So it's 28-13. And you're like, okay, it's 27-14. You're like, okay, this is one of those things where now you can – and – the Commanders get the ball with 11 seconds left, and the Cardinals don't get the ball back until 8:25, so almost 7 minutes of game time, and give up another touchdown. And by the way, they had one third down on that drive. So, like,
yeah, that's a problem too. If they can't even get their opponents to third down.
Right. And you look at it, I mean, it's wild. First and 10, 4-yard run. Second and 6, first down. First and 10, 7-yard run. Second and 3, first down. First down. First down. 5-yard run. First down. First down. They get a holding call, which you're like, okay, perfect. You know, first and 20 to second and 15. And they immediately get a first down. Like, that's the stuff that, again, I'm not expecting this defense to be like, hey, we're, you know, the 2000 Ravens. Like, nobody's saying that. What we're saying is that this team has to play well in sync. And what that means is, like, hey, the defense gets a stop. Okay, we need the Cardinals to, offense to go get a score. Okay, Cardinals offense goes gets a score. You can't just immediately give up a score again. You can't be like, hey, it's cool. They scored. We're okay. Like, it has to be, and it just doesn't seem like that's been something outside of that Rams game that's happened, right? Like, the even in going back to that Bills game, I mean, you and I have talked about it. The offense was scoring and the defense was getting lucky. They had a, you know, a fluke.
They had the fumble by Josh Allen, and then they had the in terms of the incident of the touchdown run, they got the penalty on the on Osiris Torrance on the hands of the face. And that those are the two things that ended those drives.
Right. And so you look at it and you go, okay, so you can, you know, you need those things to work in sync together, and it's just not happening consistently. And so this is the result you're seeing. And you know, I go back to the Lions game, and the reality of the Lions game was that was just, that was good defensive football on both sides in the second half. And those things happen 100%. I mean, that's football sometimes. Sometimes the offenses just don't get going in the second half. But you can't have both things misfiring at the same time and in large swaths of the game. And it seems like that's a common occurrence.
Talking about matchups, what matchups are we going to be looking at here? I think obviously we have to pay attention to Nick Bosa. And while Nick Bosa, Paris Johnson is super, super fun to look at, don't you think that the 49ers would be wise to switch him out, get up against Kelvin Beachum? So I guess really the matchup that we're going to be most important about is Nick Bosa versus Kelvin Beachum, because Paris Johnson's been so good that he might simply neutralize Bosa overall.
Yeah, and you look at it, I mean, they deploy him on the right side like 3-2, 104 to on the right side to 77 on the left side. But for the most part, that those numbers are really skewed based on one game. And I'm double checking what game that was, because I don't want to misspeak, but I think that was the Rams game when they had their third string tackle in, because that was the 49ers game three, correct?
So
Bosa lined up literally all 50 or lined up 52 snaps at the right end in that game, 52 of his 57 snaps. So for the most part, it's based on matchup, like you said. So you'll go to week one, he lined up 37 times at the left end, and then games two and four is a balance, basically a one-to-one split. So they're going to move him to where they feel he is the best matchup. And so, like you said, it's not going to be, we will get, I mean, I'm looking at it, 37-7 and 52-2. So we might get five snaps of Bosa Johnson, yeah. But it's going to be Bosa Beachum and pray, right?
Yeah, and Bosa versus Beachum, and throw up a prayer, man. Throw up a prayer. Not that Beachum's bad, but he's a barely tolerable starting tackle in this league right now. Like,
well, and we were talking about before we came on the air, the biggest matchup to me, and it's obviously not a one-on-one matchup, but it's the Arizona Cardinals rush offense against the 49ers rush defense.
And yes,
you mentioned it, you know, earlier in the show, their run defense has not been
it's not great, but it's not terrible,
right? It hasn't been the same. They're just not quite as good as they had been, but it's not terrible. But also, teams don't run the ball against them a lot. Why? Well, because they're usually behind. So
they're like, we've talked about this for years for the Cardinals. The best defense, the best run defense the Cardinals ever have is a good offense, because it, you know, it limits that. I'm looking at it at Trey McBride. His return is super important. Whether it's not necessarily against Fred Warner, though we have seen him get make fantastic catches against Fred Warner, it's Trey McBride against the second level of the 49ers defense, which has been underwhelming. I mean, they still have the best in Fred Warner, but when you move past Warner, Kyle Mattson said it. He's been, DeMondre Campbell's looked old. He's been, he has not been, he's been a step late on the run game. He's been slow in coverage. And so if we can, if the Cardinals can get McBride off of Warner and lined up and matched up against those guys, that is a place where they can win. And honestly, I was disappointed because I thought we were going to see more from Elijah Higgins last week, but apparently McBride's absence was noticeable. And if they get him involved in the second level, I think it's going to go as well with Greg Dortch. If they can get Greg Dortch and Trey McBride involved at the second level of the defense and win that level, the Cardinals are going to have a chance.
Well, and it's what you and I were talking about before the show, Justin, and it's an unfortunate thing, right? But and I know people hate to say this, and then they go, well, you're making excuses for Kyler or this or that, but this is just the reality, right? This is a reality of the situation. The Cardinals' passing offense is heavily predicated on being able to run play action. And when that doesn't happen, this team and this offense really struggles. I was telling you the stats of the other day, and I know that the bulk stats look good coming out of that Washington game for rushing, right? 181 yards rushing. So that, you know, that makes it everybody look at it and go, hey, they had a great day. Well, a lot of those came in that garbage time. It wasn't, you know, an effective run game for the most part. And the reality became they only ran five play action passes in that game. You look at that in these other games in week three against the Lions. Again, it wasn't super effective, but they ran it 11 times, so double that. You know, in week two, their best game of the season offensively, 13 dropbacks in play action. And then week one, I believe it was right around the same, 13, 12. So it was 12. So you look at that, man, that's a lot, right? And only five. Well, when you can't run the ball, teams don't care. They're like, oh, run the ball. We don't care. You're not going to be able to throw it. So the play action is not effective. So then you're going into straight dropbacks. And this was another thing that we talked about, right, is that in weeks two and three, the Cardinals' offensive line was actually pretty good, especially that week three. Like, we were pleasantly surprised. You know, we big ups to Jackson Barton, who had one game, and Sayonara, enjoy injured reserve, buddy, but played extremely well in that one game. And in week two, they had a top 10 performance as a pass blocking team. And then you get to week four against one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. And you get one of the worst performances, not only of the week, but of the season from a pass rush or from a pass protection point of view. And against a team that had just been miserable getting, I mean, you look at it week two, the Giants were number four in pass protection. They played the Commanders in week two. In week three, the Bengals were ninth in pass protection. They played the Commanders in week three. And then the Cardinals are 30th in pass protection in week four against that Commanders team. Like, how does that happen? And that's just it. And the other thing was, who was the best team in pass protection in week four? The Washington Commanders. So if you can't,
a terrible combination. That's right. A combination that will never win a football game ever.
Right. And so if you can't rush the passer, can't stop the run, can't protect the passer, can't effectively run the ball, you're probably going to end up losing football games, right? And, and so now you're sitting there going, okay, like, where is the advantage matchups? They have to be able to run the ball. They have to be able to set up play action pass and attack the levels of the 49ers defense, which hasn't been good in pass coverage. It's not been bad by any means, but it hasn't been what they had been. And so those
they need Michael Wilson to win. They need Marvin Harrison to win. So they need to be able to get the ball to the outside more than just the first quarter, apparently. Because I think that kind of takes care of that. Like if you're able to, you know, the run game against the run defense, if you're looking at Trey McBride and that middle level, then you've got to look at pass protection. Goodness gracious. Because how else, like, they've got Marvin Harrison. He's putting up some numbers, but we're waiting for him to have a dominant game. He had a dominant first quarter. He's producing. He's got four touchdowns in four games. You can't expect much more than that. But what we haven't seen is the ability to have him make a difference over the course of a whole game. It's in spots, and it's early in the game. And wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great to get Marv a 10-catch, 150-yard performance with whether it comes with two or three touchdowns or if it's just there, he's making plays down the field, and that'll keep the Cardinals offense humming and looking like the way we believe this offense can play.
Right, and they have to have a stellar offense for anybody to really buy into this team anymore and what they're, you know, quote unquote building. I'm not going to, and you mentioned it, you're not pushing the panic button, but the cover of the button's off and you're ready to push it. Yes. And if they have another stagnant, uninspired performance on offense, you're going to look at that and go, I don't think this is working, because you can't continue to fail in the same way over and over and over again.
Coming up next on the Rise of Syria podcast, the SR Cardinals talk on the web. Let's actually look to predictions. We're going to talk about what we think is going to happen. We're going to talk about the best prop bets available for us to make. That's coming next on the Rise of Syria. We're back on the Rise of Syria podcast, the SR Cardinals talk on the web, talking about 49ers, Cardinals. We're looking at the outcome now. The 49ers are 7.5-point favorites in this game. I don't know. I could see this game going sideways, but at the same time, what have we seen from Jonathan Gannon's Cardinals aside from last week, aside for a game against the Rams late last year? They have been extremely tough and competitive. And so while I would not be surprised with a 38-17 win by the 49ers or a 41-24 game, I think this is going to be a one-score game, and I like the Cardinals. It wasn't enough. I do not nearly have the confidence to say take Cardinals plus 7.5 as one of my three favorite underdog bets of the week, like I wrote for Sportsbook Wire, but I believe this will be a one-score game, so I like the Cardinals to cover, and I like the over 50. But I just don't think – and I think the Cardinals can win, and I think if they do win, then we look at week four and go, okay. All right, put the cover back on. We're back in business. We're back in business, because then they're 2-3. They're kind of ahead of – you know, they're sort of ahead of the sticks in terms of their schedule, and we can put things to rest for a little bit. But a blowout loss, and we're going to say, are they going to win a game before November? Like, is that going to happen? But yeah, so my game outcome prediction is the Cardinals hang tough and either give up a game-winning score at the end of the game or don't have enough time to get the touchdown, and we'll lose 31-27.
I'm similar in the sense that I think that they can score 28. I'm different in that I just don't think that they cover or can stop the 49ers. So I'm going to go 38-28 in this one. I think the Niners, you know, kind of,
will they pull ahead late? Will they get a late game breaking score? And then the Cardinals kind of have to, so that they're like, it's a 3-point game. They go up by 10 and the Cardinals have a 2-possession. And so rather than kicking the field goal, they have to score a touchdown and they just fail. They turn the ball over on downs and,
yeah,
but
so
but you think it's a competitive game up until the end?
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of at with that whole thing.
Okay, well, so you've got the 49ers -7.5. I've got the Cardinals +7.5. Obviously, the both of us have over 50. And let's look at some of the props. Now, they don't have a ton of them. They don't have any passing props on BetMGM yet for Brock Purdy. But they do for Kyler. Well, the one thing that they have is passing touchdowns. And this is not a value bet by any means. But Brock Purdy over 1.5 touchdown passes is -145. And I think, you know, if you want to do this, let's make this for a reasonable bet. Let's take if you like the 49ers to win, take the 49ers win at -350, and then Brock Purdy over 1.5 touchdown passes it at -145. And that brings you to a modest -135, right? Not terrible, but it gives you, and if you want to add, let's see if they have the rushing props. And if you want to say Jordan Mason over 85.5 yards, and then that parlay moves it up to +180 and three, probably really reasonable things to do in terms of three bets that we think are easy. But yeah, I think Brock Purdy will have 2 to 3 touchdown passes in this game. But what do you think about Kyler at +130 at over 1.5 touchdown passes?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad one. I mean, we've seen that they can throw the ball consistently when they get into the red zone. It's just been a struggle to get there this year. So I don't mind that one. There is one on FanDuel that I do like. It's under game specials. And it's +500, so it's quite a large one. But either team, so that means, you know, Cardinals or 49ers, and I'm leaning heavily on the 49ers on this one. Either team to score one rushing touchdown and one passing touchdown in each half, meaning 4 touchdowns for the 49ers, but they come one passing, one rushing. I like that. It's +500. I don't really have a problem with that one at all. And then if you think that it's going to be high scoring like Jess and I do, they do have each team to score one rushing and one passing touchdown in each half for +11,000. A dollar on that, you know, maybe you win $110 on a dollar bet, you know, something of that nature. But I really do like that either team to score one plus rushing, one plus passing in each half at +500, because I do think that is in play for the 49ers. And if they get, the thing is that you're going to have to worry about for the Niners in that prop is if they score 3 in the first half, will they just score, you know, 2 rushing touchdowns,
right.
or 3 rushing touchdowns in the second half. But I think I do like that at +500. It's big odds, you know, on top of, you know, kind of what you covered. I like your Purdy bets. There's really nothing out this week, which is interesting how long these lines are taking to come out all of a sudden. Like, we're going to have to switch to like a Friday show if this is
right. That's kind of wild how that's been. It was weird because I was literally in the middle of the show with Kyle yesterday and there were nothing. And in the middle of the show, like immediately, they got the rushing and the receiving props, but only ones for the Cardinals. If you did our ladder for James Conner last week, you won big. And that, you know, if you did that bet and the other bets, I think you probably, you still came ahead, because laddering the over, the 75 plus and the 100 plus was a big payout for James Conner. And you can do something similar this week. 59 and a half yards is the projected total. I think that's an easy bet for James Conner at minus 120. Duplus at 75 plus, you get him at 155. And then if you want to go crazy with 100 plus, I think this might be just worth it to add a couple of bucks to it, but he's at plus 400 to do 100 plus rushing yards. And so if you want to ladder that, that's probably been your best bet over the last half season, has been taking James Conner and laddering those bets.
Yeah. And there is a couple others that you can look at. Both of us like this game to be a little higher scoring. So if you are inclined to agree with that, both teams to score 25 plus points, which Jess and I both predicted, is plus 330 on FanDuel. Oh, that's nice. Another one that's interesting, team to have first field goal. I know where this is coming from, so I'm not saying it's a bad line, but the Niners are plus 104. The Cardinals are minus 126. And I get it. They're thinking like the Cardinals aren't going to like hold the 49ers to a field goal. Let's be honest. And so I get that. However, we have seen that the Cardinals' first drive tends to produce touchdowns.
Yeah, they've been 4-for-4 in touchdowns this year on the first
drive. At plus money for the 49ers, maybe the Cardinals get a stop, maybe something of that nature happens. It's not a terrible bet to take on that one, but I understand why it's leaning towards the Cardinals in that favor, because let's be honest, nobody buys that the Cardinals are going to stop the Niners and force a field.
That's true. There is almost nothing in terms of receiving props right now. There's not receptions. You've only got Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Mason for receiving yards, Marv and James Conner for the Cardinals. That's it. There is almost nothing. I don't know. What is that, by the way? Why are there no odds? Because normally we have odds by, or maybe it's
I wonder if
Thursday during the day and we're not recording Thursday night.
Well, but last week FanDuel was plumb out of those things too. They just had passing stats. I think for the Cardinals, it's the unknown with Trey McBride. McBride, even though he's practicing, he's not full cleared. He's not guaranteed to be active. And so you're saying, okay, we don't know what McBride's going to do, and that's going to change how we're going to set lines on other guys. For the Niners, you mentioned that Kittle and Samuel have both been banged up. Doesn't mean much because they're always banged up, right? But like, it could mean that they're like, hey, let's see if they're going to hold. I mean, let's be honest, if they hold out guys against the Cardinals, nobody's really going to think much of it. Kittle did not practice yesterday, it looks like, with rib injuries. They have a laundry list of injuries.
Yes, they do.
For the Niners. I mean, we didn't even get into that because we just are so used to them having all these guys on the injury report and then all of them playing. But Warner or Kittle's on the injuries with ribs. Fred Warner's on the injury list with ankle. Yeter Gross-Matos is on the injury list with a knee. Kevin Givens, who you talked about, has got a tricep issue. Jordan Elliott, one of their other D lineman types, has a knee issue. So I mean, it's, and then Talanoa Hufanga has got an ankle. So like, they are littered with starters that or guys that get heavy snaps. And so I think that could be it for them, just because they're like, we don't even know what 49ers team we're going to see, but we know that they're going to beat the Cardinals.
What do you think about first half lines? The Niners are 4.5 point first half favorites. That's an interesting one right there. You can take, and then you could do winning margin, but though that gets riskier because you go San Francisco, the Niners by 1 to 3 points at the end of first half is plus 800. By 4 to 6 points, it's plus 900. I don't know which way this is going to go in the first half. Like, Niners at minus 4.5, I think I'd take the – I think. I think for this game, I'm going, I would say Cardinals plus 4.5 at minus 110, that it'll be a 3 or a 4 point game at max. Because if it's more than that, it's going to get out of hand in the second half.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it and I would, for me, I would stay away from that. The one that I do like is the over 24.5. That's plus 100. So it's even money. I just don't know if the Cardinals can stop the Niners, and it could be one of those situations where it's, you know, 21-7, 20-10 at halftime, and you're soaring past that 24.5. The biggest thing is if the Niners do have some injury issues, then you're getting that number early before the books know, and then they're going to move that line, you know, to 20, probably 26.5. In the first half, because they're like, oh, well, the Cardinals won't have as hard of a time scoring against this Niners defense.
And with that, I think we've reached the end of this game. So not many props to look at right now. Pay attention to revengeofthebirds.com this weekend and cardswire.com on Sunday morning for the written version of our recommendations, as we will have them there. But that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Series podcast. That's our Cardinals talk on the web. It's episode 599, our next one that we do next week, provided that Howard doesn't do an audio update before then. Otherwise, we will do number 600 next week when we talk about how this goes. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise Up Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.
Rise up! Team Red! Red!